God bless our reading and hearing his word. In the story, the passion of Jesus has begun. It began really just a few verses earlier when Jesus did a little reality check with his disciples and asked, "Who do people say that I am?" And the disciples reported what the word on the street was. Some thought he was John the Baptist come back from the dead. Others thought he was Elijah, or some thought he was a prophet. And then Jesus asked them directly, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter, for the very first time, as a human being, identifies Jesus as the Christ, the Messiah, the long-awaited one. And that's what begins Jesus' passion, his suffering. Because immediately Jesus begins to tell his disciples how he's going to suffer greatly at the hands of the chief priests and the scribes and the elders, how he will be killed, and how he'll rise again 3 days later. So the countdown has begun. It's about 6 weeks now to the end of Jesus' life. His passion has begun. And as Jesus enters this final phase of his ministry, the Trinity marks the beginning of his passion much like they did the beginning of his ministry during his baptism, when there was a parting of the heavens and the voice of God is heard and Jesus is affirmed as the Son of God. But this time there are three disciples there to see it all, the glory of God. I believe that this event was meant to encourage Jesus, lots of ways that encouraged him. But it was also meant to encourage his disciples, all disciples through time. And that's what I want to focus on today. Every disciple then, in Jesus' day and now, has struggled to make sense of Jesus as being the Son of God. That was the risk of the incarnation. That was the chance God took when their Father, Son, and Spirit decided to enter creation and come after us. They took the risk that we would not recognize God in Jesus. The incarnation means God in the flesh, which was meant to reveal God to us. But by coming in the flesh might actually keep God hidden at the same time. I mean, it's difficult, isn't it, to hold all of God in all of Jesus. It's difficult for us to hold those two things together, the fullness of God in this simple human being. We can sense God in Jesus then and now. We can sense God's palpable presence in Jesus. There was something different about this man. There was an aura about him that was simply other. God felt real whenever Jesus was near people. They could sense God's presence in him. We can sense God's presence in the weight of his words. The things that Jesus said and says hit home. They cut through the confusion of life. His words speak a simple and direct truth. They reveal mystery. They make sense. They make us feel alive. And we can sense God in his transforming touch. All those miracles that Jesus did. He did all those miracles, but he was still just a man doing them. He turned water into wine, which has to be college students' number one favorite miracle of Jesus. But he also restored sight. He straightened backs. He made the lame to walk. He healed chronic diseases. He liberated people from evil spirits. But in spite of all of these things, in spite of his presence, in spite of his words, in spite of his transforming touch, he was still just a man. And so Jesus, being fully God, remained hidden in his being fully human. His incarnation, which was supposed to make God visible, also kept God invisible to our eyes. No one could really see how all of God had squeezed into the person of Jesus until this moment, until his transfiguration. What are we seeing here? What's happening? Jesus is transfigured. His body was physically transformed into a radiant presence, a radiant figure, so full of God, so real, so present, that even his clothes dazzled with brilliance. What are we seeing? We are glimpsing the fullness of God in Jesus. All of this had been present in Jesus all the time. But God's presence had been confined by the limitations of his humanness. So to our eyes, Jesus appeared to be just a man until now. Now we see in indescribable ways. Maybe we can turn this mic on because I think my mic keeps cutting out. Thank you. So we see what Jesus has been all along. We are glimpsing his glory. It's interesting that Robin and I came up with the same illustration, Superman. Isn't it amazing how we never realized that Clark Kent was Superman until he took his glasses off and did that quick change in the phone booth? We didn't realize that Jesus was God with us until now, till his glory shines through his physical body. Apparently, there are not really words to describe what it was like when the fullness of God was revealed in the face of Jesus. The best Luke could say was that the appearance of Jesus' face changed. It's not very descriptive. I wish he said a little more. It seemed to be easier to describe the change in Jesus' clothes. They became dazzling white than in his body. It was so difficult to describe that the disciples kept quiet about what they had seen, this glory of Jesus, for a long time. How could they talk about it? How could you put into words the indescribable? But now these three disciples had glimpsed Jesus' glory. They'd seen it with their own eyes. And this vision, this sight, this glory of Jesus is going to encourage them in ways they don't yet understand. It's going to encourage them as they begin the passion with Jesus. As they see him arrested, as they see him tried, as they watch him die on the cross, this vision of his glory is going to sustain them. As they waited for who knew what after his death, before his resurrection. Glimpsing the glory of Jesus is an encouragement to all of us. I bet you have prayed somewhere along the way this simple prayer: Jesus, just show yourself. Just make yourself visible so I can believe, or so I can believe again. Over 25 years ago, I was reading a novel by Frederick Buechner, and it really spoke to me. It was a story about a despairing pastor who had talked a lot about the wonder of God, but the mystery of God, but wasn't experiencing it himself. And there's this desperate moment where, after seeking God for a long time, he goes out in the backyard, he lays on the ground beneath a tree, and he looks up to the branches and he prays this simple, desperate prayer: God, if you are alive, Jesus, if you are real, just make two branches clack together. That's all I need. Just show up. Just do something. Just reveal yourself. I so related to that story at that time. Jesus has shown himself. He's given us a sign he is really God. He's done that in our lives through his palpable presence when we pray. That's when that transformation happened for Jesus. He's talking to the Father and the Spirit. And when we pray, we feel the palpable presence of God, of Jesus. He has shown himself through the weight of his words, which still hit home and cut through confusion and reveal mystery and lead us to life. And he is continuing to reveal himself through his transforming, miraculous touch. All those miracles he's accomplished in our lives. Maybe not water into wine, maybe soon. But all the ways he's rescued us from the crisis of our own making, and all the ways he's healed our diseases and
fed us with his provision of daily bread, and delivered our souls from oppression. So we're like Peter, James, and John. We can take all of this direct experience of Jesus in our lives, and then we hold it next to Jesus in his transfiguration, and we glimpse his glory. We see all of God shining through the face of Jesus and reflected in his clothing. And we say, oh, that's why. He has really been God with us all along, and Jesus just finally took his glasses off, and we heard the branches clack together. This mystery of glimpsing the glory of Jesus, it's so amazing. It's so real, it keeps us a little silent at times too, like the disciples. We're a little reluctant to talk about the glory of God, the reality of God in Jesus, because we might sound crazy. And so we keep silent until we hear someone else pondering the wonder of Jesus, and then we jump in because here's someone who's going to understand, and here's someone who's not going to think we're weird or crazy. The glory of Jesus is so hard to understand, we now understand why much of humanity, why our neighbors, our friends, or maybe even our spouse doesn't get it. They've not seen it. They weren't there. They can't see Jesus as anything other than a really good guy, just a man. They don't register his palpable presence, his weighty words, his transforming touch. He still has his glasses on to them, just like he did to us. For anyone to believe in Jesus, they've got to see both realities. Jesus as Jesus of Nazareth, and Jesus as the Son of God. They need to take that incredible leap of faith that feels incredible until it isn't, because you've experienced Jesus in this way, and you've seen his glory, and have been exposed to it. Oh, how he loves us, that he would take on flesh, risk being unseen, misunderstood, in order to reveal the love of God to us. Let's pray together. Lord, this is what we've been waiting for. This moment and time when you become more than just a man. In ways we can see, in ways that have been seen and recorded and finally shared with us. And so we imagine for a moment what that was like to see your body change and the fullness of God shine through. We ponder that this Lent, Lord, because we need you to be Son of God. We need you to be fully God as well as fully human, because our need is that desperate, and because you love us that much, we dare not miss it. So continue to show yourself to us this day and this week, that we might find ourselves speechless in your presence and at the wonder of your love. In your name we pray. Amen.